Sunday morning, thought you'd sleep in, didn't you? Surely not.
We did.
Oh, surely not. Okay, you know what? We have a few things here I'm going to share. Chris asked us all to share these things. And there's been incredible things going on around the world in the kingdom.
Amen.
And really, it's amazing to think that you can go to any of these churches anywhere, and it's going to be the same thing. It's going to be the same spirit. It's going to be the same understanding, the same conviction. That's a very rare thing, but that's what unity in the body is all about. Okay, first of all, Chris was baptized last week, right? Wasn't that awesome? It was awesome. Okay, and there was a gal on Sunday night baptized. Her name is Sparkle. And you know what? She's sparkling now. Okay. Three people were baptized. Chris was one of them, Sparkle, and then a guy by the name of Mark. Okay, from Orlando, Anthony Eccles shares that June Fisher, who had been away from the kingdom for 19 years, was restored last Sunday. Many tears were shed, and she was fruitful with a UCF student before she was even restored. From Portland, Ron Harding shares that they had 175 at church last week. Now, that's pretty amazing. When did Portland start? You guys know? Was it last year? Last year. So that's pretty amazing. From D.C., Andrew Smelly shares that they had two people baptized this week, and that's a small church also. Also, before service on Sunday, a man named Jerome called and said that he had been invited to church about a year ago. He came to the church, loved it, and set up to study the Bible. From the New York City Church, DJ shares that they had three people baptized last week. You guys got to realize, these are new church plantings.
Yeah.
So this is exciting stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
From Phoenix, Chris Klopek shares that a campus girl was baptized and that Marcel and Janelle have been coming back for 2 weeks now. They are working through repenting and seeking forgiveness from all that they have sinned against. Please pray for their restoration. So it's a restoration thing. Restorations are hard, guys.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, you know, gunk that you got to blow out.
Yeah.
You know, when a person's baptized into Christ, they're able to work through that. And there's those humps, but restoration, man, you got to deal with it because if you don't, it comes back.
Yeah.
From the shores of Honolulu.
Come on.
Whoa.
Yeah, Kyle Bartholomew writes, they had two incredible campus students, Ben and Gloria, baptized in the U of Hawaii. I'm going to see if they need any help there. You'll go too, Bob? Okay, amen. Okay. From L.A., four were baptized and one restored, the cousin of Joe Santos in Honolulu. On the international front, Tim Kernan in London shares that there have been four baptisms, two restorations in the past month. Thanks for all the support and prayers from the Brotherhood. Finally, from Argo Lips, in Tallinn, God bless us with a new brother, Cato.
Cato,
not the Green Hornet guy. He's 35. Cato was a high priest in the Mormon church. And his conversion took a lot of time and effort. The Brothers of Tallinn Church. Cato is now very happy and thankful to God for the privilege of becoming a sold-out disciple for Christ. You know, it really is amazing to see the transformation that people go through. Okay, when they tap into it. In fact, that's the message today is the transformed life.
Amen.
And we're going to talk about that. It always amazes me how you can take somebody through the power of the Scriptures from a sinful life to a radical life of surrender.
Amen.
I mean, it's really amazing. Where does that happen, you know? From a self-focused perspective to an outward focus of, you know, reaching the lost and of the world. Now, as we look at life, God is constantly reminding us and making us aware of constant change. Okay? First of all, you got the seasons. Now, we're going through a beautiful time now, right? We got all the leaves changing. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
But what comes after fall?
Winter.
Winter's awesome. Right? Amen?
Amen?
God provided that for us. Amen? Then you got spring. Everything's coming back to life, right? And then you got summer, and then we do it all over again. And so God is constantly changing things. Things around us are changing. Trees are growing. Grass grows. You got to constantly cut that stuff, right? Bushes, and there's a dynamic. You know, you got the geese flying south. You got constant change around us everywhere. And it's almost like God is saying, listen, I don't want life to be boring. I want dynamics. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And God says, listen, that should be the same for us. Now, in the same situation, we are in constant change, whether we like it or not. Okay? People will say to Carmen and Candace and Tracy, they'll say, I remember when you were just a little thing and you were so cute.
Yeah.
And Carmen's thinking, what are you saying? I'm not cute now? Or what's the deal with that?
Beautiful.
Beautiful. We're getting older. Okay, right, Bob? Some of us are losing our hair a little bit there. Some of us. Okay? We don't look the same. Okay? There was a guy, I went to a funeral about 2 years ago. And this guy was traveled all over the world. He had jobs in China. He was in China for like 10 years and all that. I hadn't seen him since 1986. And I ran into him at this funeral. And he goes, whoa, do you look different? And I didn't quite know how to take that.
Yeah.
I think I was like 30 pounds lighter then, you know, that kind of thing. And so it's one of those things, you transform, you change, it's not like you, and everybody's trying to stop it, right? Mm. Trying to make themselves look younger,
right.
and that kind of stuff. Some of us fight the change. Am I right?
Yeah.
Right, men?
Yeah.
No, I didn't say women, I wasn't going to go there. Some of us want to hang on. Some of us still have them polyester shirts from the 1970s. Huh? Buddy, it's time to move on. Okay. Some of us have furniture from the 70s. Pete, look at it. Look at it. You know, the pea green countertops and the orange chairs. Okay. The moon shoes, all that kind of stuff. It's time to move on. It's time to transform. Society is trying to transform too. A lot of people hate their lives, right? They hate the way they look. They hate the way they act. They hate their jobs. They hate the abuses that they've given themselves over to. People are not content in a lot of ways. And we shouldn't be. We really should always be changing. But people will spend a tremendous amount of money for change. Okay? Think about all this equipment people buy. These treadmills and stuff. I saw this one on TV the other day where this woman was doing this where... Did you see that?
I got one.
Yeah, I got one. Oh, man.
It don't work.
It doesn't work. He wants power abs. That's what he wants. Power abs. Okay. There's the videos. You know, the buns of steel kind of thing. Okay. Want to change how we look. Michael Jackson. Oh, mercy. All right. Plastic surgery, changing that nose, all sorts of stuff. People do radical things to change, and they'll spend money. Wrinkle creams. All right. Let's get rid of those crow's feet and stuff like that on our face. And then people give themselves over to addictions because they're looking to be happy, right?
That's true.
And so they give themselves over to addictions and they want to change that, and they pour a lot of money into it. Overeating. Okay, and you see a lot of that stuff on TV. Hey, try this thing, and Valerie, what's her name? Bertinelli, she's radically changed. And then Maria Osmond, wow, she's changed. You got to buy this stuff if you want to change, right? You got to have that kind of stuff. People do all sorts of stuff to overcome drinking. And then Oprah. Oprah has all these people come on and what they've radically changed. The before and after, and you're kind of like, oh my stars, how did they do that? They had this one person there that was a shopaholic, and how she was consumed with money. And her husband took on a second job just to pay for all the stuff she was buying. And she had clothes. I mean, she had stuff. It was crazy. Then they had the people that are called hoarders. And they just gotta have stuff. And you go to their house and there's just a path. And everything is, you know. And people are consumed. Why? Because they just want to be happy. Richard Simmons. Huh? Barbara was telling me, 20 years ago about how she was watching on TV how Richard, a woman said, "I owe my life to this guy." You know, and it was just like, Richard Simmons? But that's how people feel. They want to overcome. Look in Luke chapter 19.
Come on, bro.
And we're going to start off, and we're going to look at transforming our lives. Not an easy thing to do. Can you get me a glass of water, please? Not an easy thing to do because there's a lot of obstacles. There's a lot of challenges to change. And it takes suffering. Anybody in here like to suffer?
Alex does.
Alex does? Okay, we'll pray for Alex. Okay, Luke 19, verse 1. Zacchaeus, reportedly to be the shortest man in the Bible. He's not. There's Bildad the shoe height. Yeah, he's a shoe height. Shoe height. Okay. Chapter 19, verse 1. It says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief collector and was wealthy.
Amen.
Thank you for that. Chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter. Don't you like that? Mutter. "He has gone to be a guest of a sinner." Didn't like this guy. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." Okay, you look at Zacchaeus, and he's a tax collector. Tax collectors are hated.
Yeah.
All right, why? Because they were collecting taxes for Rome. Okay, Rome had taken over their country. It'd be like Russia taking over us. Okay? They take over, and then they send money, or they take people that were once your friends to collect taxes from you.
Yeah.
All right? And then, if people gave him a hard time, they'd take more. And Rome could care less.
That's right.
They'd say, "You need to submit to this guy, period." Now, my guess is Zacchaeus was probably harassed a lot when he was a kid for being short or what have you, or what.
Yeah.
I don't know what his purposes was, but he gave himself over to the enemy.
Yeah.
And so people hated him.
Yeah.
And so, anybody here happy about giving taxes? Anybody here? Hear all the corruption? How about you, Joe?
He hates it.
And so here you got this guy, and he says, "Listen, Lord, here and now." And he's announcing it.
Yeah.
All right? "I give half my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, four times." All right? Now all of a sudden you got a line of people.
Yeah.
"Here, buddy.
Yeah.
Here's where you cheated me. Four times the amount, you know?" And basically what's going on here is he has given up his God.
Yeah.
Whatever that, whether it's money or power or whatever, he has crossed the line.
Yeah.
Sorry. And people began to mutter.
Yeah.
You know, they're not happy with change.
Yep. That's right.
And you think, wow, I'd be pretty fired up to see somebody change like that. But there's a lot of reasons, and we're going to talk about that today.
Amen.
And Jesus makes this a salvation issue.
Yeah.
He says salvation has come to this guy's house.
That's awesome.
Why? Why? Because transformation is a part of salvation. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Now, God wants us to transform. The question is how? Well, point number one. Jesus reached out reaches out to us. Did Jesus reach out to Zacchaeus? He did. Zacchaeus made an effort to see him, but Jesus said, hey, buddy, I want to come to your house.
Yeah.
And we got to understand that God is always trying to reach out to us. He's trying to get our attention, all right? Whether it's through nature, through people, he's always trying to reach out to us. And a transformed life gets your attention.
It does.
It does.
Yeah.
Now, I want to share a little bit about a gal that reached out to me. Okay? I went to school, and I was got a degree in art. That's how I got into the goldsmithing and design and all that kind of stuff. And this girl that reached out to me was radically overboard. She was nuts. Okay?
Yeah.
She was crazy. She was into drugs and drinking, and she was just a party animal. And now, I was a party animal, but she kind of freaked me out. Okay? I remember there was this open area in the courtyard, and I was standing down below, and all of a sudden she started screaming, and we looked up there, and she took her shirt and went like this.
Ooh.
I was just like, whoa! Then a few weeks later, she started screaming again, took a garbage bin, threw it over. It landed. Ba-bam. She was so out there.
Wow.
And we were like, man, this gal needs help. Like, we don't, you know. This gal needs help. And then she radically changed.
Amen.
She was, like, dressed and in her right mind kind of changed. And she started inviting me to church. And I said, no, thank you.
Yeah.
I said, no, thank you. You're just going through one of these, you know, emotional, and you're over here now. Next week, you'll be back over here, and this and this and that. In the meantime, Barb and I had ended up going to Southeast Asia for school and this and that. And I started seeking God. I started seeking God, and when I came back, I saw all this religious stuff. And I remember sitting there praying, I said, God, give me some direction. I'm going to all these churches. I don't know what to do. And then I remembered this girl. This is a year later. It popped into my head. And I walked over to the phone book, I looked her up, I called her, I said, do you remember me? And she said, yeah. I said, do you still go to that church?
Yeah.
Okay, there's an important part there. She said, absolutely. I said, can I come? And it was because of this transformed life that it pulled me in.
Amen. That's awesome.
For me, I transformed then.
Come on.
I transformed.
Amen.
You know, like I said, I was a party animal. I was a bartender, of all things, when I was in college.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
This is not a good situation.
No.
And it got to the point where I would literally have blackouts. I would not remember whole nights. I remember waking up in my car one morning, and I was out on a country road. I had no idea where I was. Not a good feeling. No. I remember people coming, going to a friend's house, and they'd show me a picture of me, and I'd say, where was that? Well, that was last weekend at that party. I don't remember being there. Blackouts. But I transformed.
Amen.
You know, it's hard to go through, okay, what has God got to do?
Yeah.
All right, but he's constantly trying to get us to change. Joe Cipetta, right here. Did Joe change? Joe was a starving artist. And so we could relate, and I could spend time with him. But when I met Joe, I hope Joe doesn't mind me sharing this, he had hair down to here.
Yeah,
true. Yep. And Joe was a very angry man. Am I right, Denise? He was an angry man. And so what happens is Tracy knows his daughter. They start a relationship, and so we start reaching out. And Denise is open to saying, Joe is not.
No.
Every time I bring up God, he starts swearing at me.
Yeah.
Don't bring that blankety blank up to me and just get out of here, get away from me. But he couldn't deny Denise changing.
No.
And he did not like it.
No.
Here's his girl. Yeah. Changing. Radically.
Yep.
And Denise got to the point where she moved out. And Jill began to see her confidence grow.
Yeah.
And began to see her happy and with deep conviction.
That's right. Yeah.
All right? And he couldn't deny it.
Yeah.
And finally, he gave up the fight to not buy into this. But in the meantime, Joe persecuted us.
Yeah.
Everybody in the neighborhood, this guy's in a cult.
Yeah.
He's whacked.
That's right.
Look what he's doing to my girlfriend. Kind of thing.
Yeah.
But he couldn't deny the transformation.
That's right.
Look in Luke chapter 4.
Come on, bro.
And we're going to see how Jesus transformed lives, just as he did with Zacchaeus, but with a little twist. Transformation. Chapter 4, starting in verse 14. Beginning of Jesus' ministry, okay? Okay, Jesus had just been tempted by Satan, and he comes to his home. Verse 14. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. Okay? Wow, this kid we've known, he's different. He's coming in the power of the Spirit. Wow. This is awesome stuff. Let's jump to verse 22. All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. Isn't this Joseph's son, they asked? Wow, this is incredible. Wait a minute. Isn't this Joseph's son? There's something different about this guy. Verse 23, Jesus said to them, surely you will quote this proverb to me, physician, heal yourself. Do here in your hometown what we heard that you did in Capernaum. I tell you the truth, he continued, no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time when the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian.
Yeah.
All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of the town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him down the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. Wow, there's your first sermon. Hey, guys.
Yeah.
And they were furious. First, hey, this is awesome. They praised him.
Yeah.
Gracious lips. But when Jesus began to confront them, oh, hey, you can change, but don't call me to change. Don't challenge my heart. Hey, Fine and Danny, do what you want and entertain me, but don't you dare go after my heart. These people were ticked off because he was saying, listen, why couldn't God work through Israel? Why did he have to go to foreign countries? Because you are stubborn.
Yeah.
Prophet isn't accepted. What did you do to the prophets? What did you do to Elijah? What did you do to Jeremiah? You killed him. So on and so forth. And so you got to see that Jesus is calling them to be different.
Yeah.
And they didn't like it.
Amen.
Our changes will inspire people or scare them. It'll inspire them or they'll hate us.
That's true.
I remember Barb's parents, Irene and Joe. Initially, they weren't too happy with us about our change. And I remember Joe saying, hey, don't you bring that stuff into our household. And Barb said, Dad, I can't promise that. And then they became disciples.
Amen. That's awesome.
And see, standing your ground in spite of persecution is convicting.
Yeah.
People will say, wow. This isn't just an emotional thing. This is the real deal. Look in verse 36. Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. Now Simon's... verse 36, I'm sorry. All the people were amazed and said to each other, what is this teaching with authority and power? He gives orders to evil spirits and they come out. And the news about him spread throughout the surrounding area. Verse 38. Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever. And they asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up at once and began to wait on them. Okay? Pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Verse 40, when the sun was setting, the people brought to Jesus how many? All who were had various kinds of sickness. And laying his hands on each one of them, he healed them. Moreover, demons came out of many people. All right, Jesus is transforming people wherever he goes.
Yeah.
And people know they can be transformed by Jesus.
Yeah.
They start bringing people to him.
That's awesome.
Did he just heal the people, certain people? No, all of them.
Yeah.
Powerful stuff. Now, I have a question. Where were all these people on the day of the cross? Where were they? And see, people want the healing, but they don't want the persecution. They don't want
That's right.
The suffering.
No.
Jesus touched lives. Chapter 5, verse 12. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. All right, now, covered. Not just a spot here or two. Covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I'm willing, he said, be clean. And immediately, the leprosy left him. Now, Jesus did a radical thing here. You know, if you're a leper and you're diseased in those days, what you had to do, wherever you went, if you saw a person, you had to cry out, unclean, so that people wouldn't come near you.
Yeah.
And for most of these people's lives, they've never been touched after they got leprosy because of fear. And so what does Jesus do? Couldn't Jesus just heal the guy from a distance?
Sure.
No.
Sure.
It says he reached out and touched the man. And he's healed. The challenge for us is, are you willing to be risky in your transformation? And you transform, are you willing to go past the norm? Jesus said, listen, I don't care. And it was showing more compassion to this guy than anything. I'm willing to touch you.
Amen.
Risky and compassion. That's what people need. Verse 17. Jesus heals a paralytic, right? He jumps down to verse 20. It says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, who is this fellow speak blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Wait a minute. You guys, you're missing the boat. I just healed a guy who's a paralytic, and you're focused on this legalism. And it just shows people will begin to challenge you so they don't have to change.
Yeah.
They don't want to change. There's areas in their life that are, no. I love this sin.
Yeah.
I love doing this. Don't call me to suffer. I don't want to suffer.
Yeah.
Verse 27, Levi. What is he? Another tax collector. Probably knew Zacchaeus. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. Follow me, Jesus said to him, and Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. You know, imagine this picture. Here he is at the booth, collecting money. Money! He's collecting money. Jesus is in line. He says, follow me.
Yeah.
Now, I'm sure that Levi had seen Jesus heal. If Jesus had the opportunity to ask you, follow me, what would you do? And it says he left everything. There was probably money sitting there. I can't imagine him going, just a second, Jesus. Just a second here. No.
Yeah.
Wow. He just left. Everybody in line was like, all right, I don't have pay now. Right? Look in verse 29. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house. Heart of gratitude, right? And a large crowd of who? Oh boy, this had been a fun party. And others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who had belonged to their sect complained to who? His disciples. Why didn't they come to Jesus? Huh?
Chicken!
Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Alright, this is where their head's at. They didn't see their sin. So who answers him? Jesus. Oh, hey, here's some buddies. Come on in. Jesus answers him, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.
Yes.
You know, you look at this and you realize that Jesus is saying, listen, I'm calling sinners to what repentance. What does repentance mean? To change, to turn back to God, to come to Him. And He says, listen, if you're righteous, I don't need to call you. Were they righteous? No, not at all. They didn't see it. They didn't get it. But Jesus is saying, listen, these people want it. Why shouldn't I go to them? And see, what we got to understand is there are people who do want it. There are people seeking. And we can pour a lot of energy into people who just aren't open. They don't want it. Okay, amen? Good luck with that.
Yeah.
But I need to pour my energy into people who are seeking, who hate their lives.
Amen.
You guys seeing a theme here?
Yeah.
Okay. In verse, chapter, oh, let's see here. There's a lot here.
Come on, bro.
Look in chapter 6. It says, verse 1. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and his disciples began to pick some heads of grain, rub them in their hands, and eat kernels. Some of the Pharisees asked him, why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath? And then Jesus begins to challenge them. All right? In verse 6, it says, on another Sabbath, he went into the synagogue and was teaching, and a man was there whose right hand was shriveled. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. Does this say they're looking for guidance and direction, and I want to learn? And
No.
Their goal is to accuse Jesus. So they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath.
Yeah.
But Jesus knew what they were thinking. And he said to the man with the shriveled hand, get up and stand in front of everyone. Let's make this obvious.
Yeah.
Okay? It says they were looking closely. He said, oh, you're looking closely? Okay, buddy, stand up. Let's make this perfectly clear what I'm doing here.
Yeah.
Okay? So he got up and stood there. Then Jesus said to them, I ask you, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil? Okay? To save life or to destroy it? He looked around at them all, and then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. He did so, and his hand was completely restored. But they were furious and began to discuss with one another what they might do with Jesus. You know, it is really sad when you think about it. These are the religious leaders. These are the people that are supposed to be the men of God.
Yeah.
And what's their problem? Their pride.
Yeah.
Jesus is showing them up. Now this situation I'm sure didn't help, okay? But Jesus didn't care about that. It bothered Jesus that here I am restoring this person's hand and you're critical.
Yeah.
And what Jesus is saying, listen, I'm here to restore life. I'm here to transform life. And he transformed this guy's hand. And he healed him. And he says, that's my life. That's what I do.
Yeah.
Then he does something else. Verse 20. It says, looking at his disciples, he said, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom in heaven. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. And he goes on and on and on. Now, Jesus does something different. He's been transforming the outward, the body, the healing. Now, he begins to transform the hearts. And hopefully the hearts were transforming along, but he begins to help people understand that we need to change inwardly also.
Yeah.
I need to transform your heart. Yeah. Blessed are the poor in spirit. What is he talking about? Humility. You gotta be humble. Verse 24. Blessed are those who are rich. He talked about materialism. And their heart being rich versus physically rich. Verse 27. Love. Loving your enemy. Verse 30, being a giver. Verse 37, judging. Verse 39, pride. And this whole cycle kept going on and on and on. Chapter 7, verse 1, you don't have to turn there. He's dealing with the centurion. He heals the centurion's servant. Chapter 7, verse 11, the widow's son, he raises him from the dead. Chapter 8, verse 26, the demon-possessed man. Chapter 8, verse 40, a dead girl and a woman, raising a dead girl, and then this woman who is subject to bleeding for 12 years. And so his whole life was one dedicated to changing people's lives, to transforming their hearts and healing them. Now, here's the challenge. There is a cost. There is a cost.
Yeah.
You know, anytime you go to see a doctor nowadays, they want their money up front.
Yeah.
Let me see your insurance card.
Yeah.
All right. Everybody's got an issue about health care and health reform, but nobody wants to pay for it. Am I right?
That's right.
Just give me a shot or a pill. Right? No. You need to change your life.
Yeah.
You need to quit smoking. You need to quit overeating. Okay? You need to quit drinking. You need to get more sleep. You need to exercise.
Whoa.
The E word.
Exercise.
You need to eat different kinds of food. No, just give me the fix, man. Give me that pill. I want the easy way out. Don't ask me to suffer. Am I right?
Yeah.
Now, people come to our church and they love it, right?
Yeah.
People come and all this hugging. Oh, man, you're awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
The love. And then you got Roger Kitson and, you know,
and Alex.
Alex. Yeah, okay. People, why wouldn't they want to join? Sign me up. But how did he get that way? Transformed life. I know all of you guys, most of you, have a story of transformation. And it's exciting. And someday I think we should do that. Person after person get up in church and just share, this is what happened to me. It's miraculous. It's amazing to hear the stories of people who have transformed. But how did it get there? Was it easy? Anybody have an easy conversion in here? Cakewalk, no problems. Just sign me up. Where's the water? Look, here's water. Look in Luke 9.
Come on, bro.
So, Jesus healing all these people. He says, okay, guys, by the way, there is a cost.
Yeah.
There is a cost to this thing. Verse 21. It says, Jesus strictly warned them not to tell this to anyone, and he said, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, teachers of the law, and he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Then he said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self? Now you gotta understand how radical this is. Jeez, they knew the cross back then, right?
Yeah, they did.
Hey, go outside the city, somebody's getting tortured to death. That's what they did with people. And it happened long before Jesus was on the scene. This is what the Romans did.
Yeah.
And imagine Jesus standing there, and in the distance you see somebody carrying their cross. And he says, you know what, guys? That's what's going to happen to me. Chief priests are going to cause me to suffer. And then I'm going to die. Now come follow me. Okay? I mean, that's what he's saying. All right, sign me up. Okay, this should be fun. It was an intense little talk we had here.
Yeah.
And Jesus knows, listen, you want the healing, but do you want to suffer to get there? In Luke 14, verse 33, he says, you must give up everything. He doesn't say you must be willing to. He says, you got to do it.
Yeah.
And the question is, how much is your happiness worth? Why do we hang on to stuff that robs us of our joy anyways?
Yeah.
How much is our salvation worth? How much is the relationship with Jesus worth? What if they just took the whole New Testament, threw it out, and there was just one line? You want a relationship with Jesus, you need to be crucified. Okay, who would do it? You'd have to have a lot of faith.
Yeah.
Boy, I hope this is going to work.
Yeah.
But imagine that. Now, did God think it was worth it?
Yeah.
Yeah. He said, you know what? You're worth it. Point number three. Jesus continues to touch our lives.
Amen.
Okay, for us who are disciples, are you continuing to transform? Are you different than you were a year ago?
Yeah.
How you walk, what you say, your convictions, are they deeper?
Yeah.
Here's the challenging question. How can you walk with the Creator of the universe and stay the same?
Yeah.
That does not equate.
Right, yeah.
If you're walking with Jesus and He sees your sin all the time, how can you stay in it?
Yeah. Amen.
And we could say, yeah, I've transformed. Let's have this party and talk about it. You know, Erwin gets up and he shares and this and this and that. Well, maybe we should have another time to say how we've changed in the last 2 months.
Yeah. Yeah.
How have we and let's have other people share about our transformation.
Amen. Amen.
Are you still changing?
Yeah.
Are you guys understanding where I'm going here?
Come on, bro.
Are you changing? Well, that's just for the new conversions. That's just for Chris. That's awesome. Hey, she's awesome. That's just for, you know, when you first join, you're supposed to change.
Uh-oh.
My Bible says we are to renew how often?
Daily.
Day by day. No, I want the break. I'm just going to take the break. I'm just going to go into the mountains and pray like Jesus did and take the break.
Uh-oh.
No, not good.
Yeah.
I'm tired of the battle. I'm wore out. I just don't want to suffer anymore.
Yeah.
Look in Romans chapter 12.
Come on, bro.
The transformed life. Oops, went too far. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Living sacrifices. Don't you like it when they start off with that?
Uh-oh.
Chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of what? God's mercy. If it weren't for God, you wouldn't have changed, period.
Right.
To offer your bodies as living sacrifices. All right, now that's the beginning of a sermon right there.
Yeah.
Boy, oh boy, sign me up. Holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual what? Act of worship. This is how you act. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Amen.
Then you will be able to test and prove what God's will, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. He says that we are to transform by the renewing of our mind. It's what happens up here that changes us.
Yeah.
That's where the battle is won or lost.
That's right.
That's where our faith grows. How do we do it? How do we do it? How do we transform our mind? You know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:16 that we have the mind of Christ. Where's that? It's right here. And what he's saying is you read your Bible and you mature. You grow. You don't just read it, you apply it. You transform.
That's right.
Day by day. In Romans 8, verse 5, you don't have to turn there, it says, the mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. Well, are you peaceful? Are you fired up about life? If you're not, something else is going on up here.
Yeah.
This is how you change. This is how you transform. If your quiet times are dull, don't expect them to change. You.
Yeah.
They won't. They won't have that impact.
Yeah.
If it's like, okay, let's see here, Isaiah 2. This is good stuff. And you put in your time. It's like Joe was talking in the communion message. What's your prayer like? What are you thinking? Is your mind set for the battle? Or are you dull? And allowing the world to conform you versus God.
Yeah.
2 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to close here.
Come on, bro.
There's a lot of examples of this. You guys remember the rich young ruler?
Yeah.
All right. Jesus, he came to Jesus. What did he ask?
What must I do to inherit eternal life?
What must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, you know the commandments? Oh, all these I've done since I was a boy. Jesus says, yeah, you just went a little thing here. So everything you have, give to the poor, follow me. And he couldn't do it. And see, some people will be called to change and they won't do it.
Yeah.
And that can be us today.
That's right. Yeah.
Somebody challenges you on your life. Are you going to change it? Are you going to, I'm working on that sin. And the apostle said to Jesus, man, who can be saved? We've left everything we had to follow you. And Jesus said, that's it. It's a changed life. Not just in the beginning. It's a lifestyle.
Amen. Amen.
We need to be transforming. Verse 17, chapter 3. He says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what?
Freedom.
Freedom. Can somebody say, man, Nanette, you look free. Man, I want to be like you. How did you get there?
Yeah.
Bob, you're so joyful.
Yeah.
You know? That's what they should be able to see in our lives.
Right. That's right.
And he says, and we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, being transformed, there's that word, transformed into His likeness, with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. It's ever-increasing. It just doesn't stop.
Yeah.
It's growing and growing and growing. Now, he says, we with, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory. All right, you see that word reflect there? My Bible has a little A there. And if you look at the bottom of the page, it says, or contemplate.
Yeah.
Basically, he's saying, all you have to do is dwell on God and you'll change. That's all it takes. And those, that's our quiet times.
Yeah.
The more you focus on God, the more you change. With ever increasing glory. How can we touch and change lives if we're the same we were a year ago? Our families and our friends, our neighbors need to see, man, you're still growing.
Yeah.
You're still changing.
That's right.
You're not dull. This isn't just a nice idea. This is the real deal.
Yeah.
And our society needs us to change badly.
Amen.
This is what I read in the news or heard on the news this week. A girl was abducted.
Yeah.
They found her body in a landfill. Now, this is all in Chicago, guys. In a landfill. A young man was robbing a store because he couldn't get a job. And the woman just freaked out. And he said, no, don't freak. And she began to talk to him and they began to pray and he sobbed. He said, I have no money for my kids. I can't get a job. This is what's going on. Another kid was shot in the back of the head on the way to school. 2 weeks ago, a kid was beat to death by his classmate. A few days ago, a couple was shot in their car. Our Bible talk last week, one of the members said, my cousin committed suicide this morning. He hung himself outside in an apartment complex. People are hurting. They're desperate. They don't know what to do. There's pain. There's anger. And for us, what we got to realize is we have the answers.
Yeah, we do.
And yet, we have to understand the transformed life will transform other lives.
Yeah.
Let's transform a life.